This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
How to make your dua always accepted? Allah's name, At-Tayyib. Tayyib means that which is wholesome, goodly, or pure. As a quick side note, people know that Tayyib is one of the names of Medina, the city of the Prophet ﷺ. And the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said that it is Taba and Tayyiba, and that it expels the impure like fire expels impurities from silver. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is At-Tayyib, the pure. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, He only accepts that which is pure. And so there's two things here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in and of Himself is pure, and that He only accepts that which is pure. He only accepts that which is pure. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that which is pure, He does amazing things. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that whoever donates from the purity of their wealth, even if it's the size of a date, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts that which is pure, He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it in His blessed right hand, and He raises it like one of you would raise a baby horse. And so I want you to imagine a small charity, a dollar that you give in Ramadan, something very insignificant, but it is, if it is from the purity of your wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may grow it like a mountain. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that's in Muslim, that Allah is pure and He only accepts that which is pure, and He commanded the believers with the same thing that He commanded the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha ar-rusul, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihah. Allah says, O messengers, eat from that which is pure and do righteous deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Allah says, O you who believe, give, or eat rather, consume from the pure things that we have given you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a man, yutilu safar, he'd been traveling for a long time, ash'ath aghbar, dusty and disheveled, raising his hands towards the sky saying, Ya Rabbu, Ya Rabb, saying, My Lord, My Lord. Now this is a man normally whose dua would be fast-tracked. It's dua that would be accepted. This is a man who's traveling and the dua of the traveler is accepted. This is a man who's dusty and disheveled, meaning he's very far away from being pampered and arrogant. He's someone who's been broken by the duration of his travel. And he's raising his hands, and your hands being raised is one of the etiquettes of dua. And he's calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his attribute of Ar-Rabb, the one who provides for you and nourishes you and protects you and develops you. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a caveat, and that caveat is his clothes were haram, his drink was haram, he was nourished with haram. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, how could this person's dua be accepted? Meaning, how distant is the idea that his dua was accepted? And so we learn from this that if you want your dua to be accepted, you have to be concerned with the purity of your income, the purity of what you nourish yourself with. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu beautifully said, the amount of dua that is needed with righteousness is like the amount of salt that is needed with food. Meaning that constant righteousness and a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to leave you in need of a lot of dua. So how do you make your dua always accepted? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas asked this of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply said to him, make your sustenance halal, you will be of those whose dua is always accepted. But what does that mean for us? It's not just about making sure that the food you're eating is halal. I think anyone who's an imam or a teacher is constantly being asked questions about gelatin, vanilla extract, alcohol in foods, and all sorts of combinations of ingredients and whether that is halal. But sustenance is more than just what you use to nourish your body, but also what you use to nourish your life and lifestyle. What are your sources of income in the first place? Are they from halal? And here's another really important question. Even if your job description is halal, are you actually earning it? Meaning, if you're getting paid to do a job and you only give it 50% because the manager isn't around, or you cut corners because the client won't notice, is that salary or check that you are actually receiving halal? I had a friend who worked at a large corporation once, and he told me, I work at my job like I am the owner of my company because that is the only way that I can feel comfortable that my rizq is halal. Now back to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He took the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he became someone whose dua was consistently accepted. Years later, during the Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab, he would become the founder of the city of Al-Kufa in Iraq. Now normally the founder of a city gets bridges and airports named after them. That's if the city itself isn't named after them, right? They get all sorts of monuments. And yet Sa'd does not get any of these things. In fact, he is getting criticized by the people of Al-Kufa. When it was Hajj season, a group of them met with Umar and complained about Sa'd, saying he didn't even pray correctly. Now, of course, this is not a complaint that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu believes. I mean, Sa'd is one of the 10 who's promised paradise and someone who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised in many instances. But in any case, Umar is the Khalifa and he needs to investigate any complaints. So he sends Muhammad ibn Maslama to Al-Kufa. And upon his arrival, he goes to the different masajid in the presence of Sa'd and he surveys the Muslim community there. Do any of you have any complaints about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas? And everybody says, no, this is amazing, he's incredible, all of that. However, on one instance, one person gets up. He says, Inna Sa'd la yasri bis sariya, wa la ya'dilu fil qadiyya, wa la yaqsimu bis sawiya. That Sa'd does not distribute the war booty equally. He doesn't go out with the military campaigns. He doesn't judge fairly. So he's accusing Sa'd in his honor. He's even accusing Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas in his courage. And so Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he then makes dua. And he says, oh Allah, if this person only said this to show off to the people, to make a name for himself, a moment right now, then prolong his life and prolong his poverty and present him with many trials. عرضه للفتن. I mean, a long life is great as long as you're healthy and you're strong throughout that life. But if a person loses all of their abilities, that's very, very difficult. And then you're poor throughout it the whole time. And all of your family members and your friends, that support system around you, that financial support system passes away as well, that makes it even more difficult. And so Sa'd is making a very strong dua against this man and presenting with trials in his religion. And so this man, the narrator said, I saw him years later in Al-Basra. And this hadith is all reported by Bukhari. I saw him years later in Al-Basra. His eyebrows had become bushy over his head due to his old age. And he would be teasing the young women of the city, in the streets, in public. And when people would complain to him and say, have some shame. Like, dude, have some shame. He would say, أصابتني دعوة سعد. I was hurt. I have been afflicted by the dua of Sa'd. And so you don't want to mess with someone whose dua is accepted. And if you want to be that person, you want to be that person whose dua is always accepted, then make sure that you nourish yourself with that which is halal, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and He only accepts that which is pure.